This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Wednesday, good morning and welcome. Wayne Kent joins us. He's back in the saddle tonight, direct line at 5 o'clock. How are you, Pastor?
Good morning. It's good to speak to you today. Brian, I'm up and at it, and I was just saying to Nick, as we're waiting to go on the air, hey, you guys sound absolutely chipper this morning, which is good at 6 o'clock in the morning on a winter day.
Well, there's plenty of coffee involved. That's our little secret, but it's good coffee. What are you doing today? Before we get to tonight's direct line, I mean, will you consume the inauguration? Will you watch this today?
Yes, I've got lots of work. Like most of us in the country, we have lots of things that have to be done throughout the day each day, and so I have lots of things, but I will have it going on in the background and probably at various points, particularly when it comes to listening to Biden's speech. You want to know what's going on there and see what he has to say. And then, like you mentioned, there is all this interest about what happens at the White House. It's got to be like a machine to get one family out and a variety of numbers of staff members in the West Wing, too, and then another family in. Fascinating. You'd like to be a fly on the wall, actually, I think.
Yeah, and I would assume in the middle of a pandemic, that makes it interesting as well, right? I mean, just everyone's doing everything in a different way. And if I'm Joe Biden, I'm probably asking for a little more deep cleaning.
Well, apparently that's what they're going to do. But when I read that article saw that news story a few weeks ago that they were going to do White House deep cleaning, I'm thinking, you mean there's questions about whether or not the White House is clean in the first place?
That's would think deep cleaning would be the normal protocol. But, I'm not sure. I wouldn't ask for a little extra. What do you make? I know that there's so much in politics today that is impacting everyone. I see so many people. It is amazing to me how many people that will make really, really alarming remarks, right, on social media. And you know, when you look at a person's profile and it'll show you, you share friends with Wayne Kent or whatever. Why are so many Christians who proclaim to be Christians immediately upon looking at any of their social media, why have they decided to dig in so deep in this election?
That's a fascinating question, my friend. I don't know whether or not I'm offended or if I'm pleased in that. First of all, this guy's a friend of mine. Where did they get this idea? I am as perplexed at this election as at anything I've ever been perplexed at. At the state of our nation is beyond what I can fully grasp. I must say that. I'm still trying to put it in some sort of context of how did we get to where we are? I think, I was very hopeful when Trump became president that he could speak for those who felt marginalized. I'm even cautious to say this with some fear that it might be misconstrued the wrong way. But I thought he might at least be able to speak for those who are marginalized, maybe in poor white communities who felt like that, man, just the culture pays no attention to us. Unfortunately, though, it appears that more than that community or those types of communities, we also have just a number of people who've gone off the deep end and have used his presidency as sort of a catalyst to take on positions that I find difficult to embrace and, frankly, from a theological point of view, quite anti-biblical. At least that's the way it feels. I don't know that we fully get where we are as a nation yet. It may take a while.
We don't. And I don't know that, and I certainly wouldn't expect you to have that answer. I mean, like everyone else, we've spent the last 10 months sort of looking for a light switch. And that's the way most of us, operate on a day in and day out basis. But the people who have said from day one, this pandemic is fake. And as soon as the election is over, it will go away. And then they move the election to, as soon as Biden is sworn in. And then the people who yesterday weren't happy that we were, bumped back up to tier one, which means we can do more things. They see it as a legitimate plot, as if Joe Biden and the Democratic machine would come in and literally rescue Macon County, which voted for Donald Trump by double digits, and say, we're now going to relieve you of this pandemic. And there are people in your pews on Sunday that believe that.
I would imagine there are, and there would also be people in my pews each weekend who would be absolutely abhor that sort of idea as well. So, I mean, a church like ours, or like probably many churches across the community, we reflect the nation.
Yeah.
And the views that are there, I mean, there are some people in that from my congregation, I read that what they say and what they believe, and I thought, how can I help you to not think that way? And that's both on the right and the left. I mean,
no, absolutely. There's no one that has an exclusive on any of this.
The crazies are out there on both sides, or maybe it's even offensive, I guess, for me to call them the crazies. The misinformed, is that a good way to put it? The misinformed.
I think if you're intentionally misinformed, meaning that you're only going to hold to one worldview and you're only going to consume. No matter how obscure or extreme the source is, you're only going to consume that information and you're going to ignore all of the rest. Yeah, I think there's some willful nature in that.
So the scriptures speak to this. In Psalm 133, it says it's good and pleasant when people live together in unity. I know the incoming president today is going to sort of focus on that in his inaugural speech. I think we have to be careful as we say we want unity. That doesn't mean that we have no differences of opinion. After all, it's really in the center, it seems to me, where often the best decisions are made, at least on the whole. I mean, I know there are examples and situations where the right decision or the correct decision is either on the right or on the left. I get that. But on the whole, we can have some unity if we can understand the common good for all of us, that if we all work together, that's good. If we can agree to have to discover an ability to disagree without demonizing, that's what's most distressing about the last number of years, that we've demonized people. I mean, people have called me names and said things online. I go, you wouldn't say it to my face. Why are you doing it like this?
Think they would anymore. I think we've dropped all pretense of any kind of civil behavior. I had hoped for, Wayne, to be honest with you, that the Republicans would hold the Senate. Because
yeah,
just as you just mentioned, I believe when you have that, you don't let perfect get in the way of good, and you have compromise. I am a little concerned, you know, now that the pendulum will swing, you know, and overreact the way it always does the other way, and we'll go too far that way. But the idea that you can't think of your fellow Americans as your fellow Americans, whom you happen to have a disagreement about this or that, but they're not the enemy. I hope we get past that or get back to at least this notion that we had of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan sitting down after a day with a drink and being able to agree to disagree.
Yeah, I am. If we could find, you know, again, theology speaks to this for me, and I know sometimes people go, Wayne, too much theology. But on the other hand, it's where we have, it's how we think. What do we do? What do we believe? The theology of Scripture says that humanity, each individual human, has value, and particularly those of us on the right who would hold to a value of life and would be pro-life. We of all people should be those who are. Acknowledging those who we might disagree with politically or in any subject matter, we still got to hold them with great value, because a pro-life approach is value for all people, not just for the unborn child, but across the board. We say, well, you are made in the imago Dei. That's a Latin word for a Hebrew word. Selem Elohim is the Hebrew. It means the image of God. There's something about you that mirrors God. The creation story says that God made, is of all the things that God made, whether or not you want to believe the creation story, if it's just a metaphor or if it's reality, the theology there is that everything that God made, all of it was created in its own setting. Until you get to humanity, where we have some aspects of God, we mirror God in some ways. Namely, in the way in which God is loving, we have the ability to love. The way in which God communicates, we have the ability to do that. The way in which God plans for the future, where of all the created order, we're the only things that can plan for the future intentionally and say, well, instead of building, you know, a bird might say, I'm going to build a nest, that it doesn't have to say, oh, I'm going to build a nest in Antarctica this year. We can do that. So there's something within humanity that says we should value other human beings, and I'm longing for the day. If the president can pull that sort of thinking off today, that's a good win.
Yeah, that's a tall order as well. What's happening tonight at 5 o'clock?
Well, we're going to talk about this business of unity. We'll spend some time on that. We might take it a little, take a look at Trump's pardons of people, 238 people throughout his presidency that he pardoned, which is going to get a lot of, always gets a lot of scrutiny on a day like this. I remind everybody that Carter pardoned 534, Kennedy pardoned 572. So there's not like it's, this number is extremely huge. You're always interested in who that is. Then we may do some things of fun, like this is concerning to me. Mullets are making a return.
Ah,
what's
that? Seems like, I don't know. That seems like a very Canadian thing to me.
What?
I'm kidding.
You're gonna like mullets? I don't know.
I think of mullets.
They have a little more European in them than that, I hope.
I don't know. Think about the hockey guy on ESPN
years. Oh, yeah, the hockey guys. Yeah, well, yeah, they don't have any teeth, so what do you expect?
Well, a mullet and yes, dentures. All right, well, we look forward tonight to 5 o'clock. Wayne, have a great day. Wayne Kent and the Direct Line, which you can hear tonight at 5. I'm really happy he's back on the airwaves. Always interesting to talk to. And great fun. He is an interesting cat.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.